Careful.
Okay. Okay, I have a sheet over there. Oh, you maybe close this door too. Okay. I'll see how much I have time for today. First thing I want to do is on side one, on the bottom left-hand side, there's number six. The reason it's number six is on that side is because after I got to five on the other side, I still had one more thing to write, so I just slipped it over there. Okay. We have the story.
What's number six?
It's on page number one. After one, two, then it says six.
Oh, we don't have that. Yeah.
Wait. Oh, you know what? Because that got added later. Okay.
Oh, the same thing. It just missing.
Yeah. What I did was I added some stuff later. Okay. Good. Do you have it? You don't have it then either.
He has it.
He has. You know what? You two guys maybe share a little, and you guys share.
Share a stickle.
Yeah. Share a stickle. Okay. Oh my! I didn't even realize it. What happened was, then I went to some girls' school, and I had them photocopy. I said to the secretary, I'm a big, when it comes to getting out of these sheets, like, I like them to look nice. I said to the secretary, do one copy, it's two sides. Do one copy first, make sure nothing got cut off, whatever, and then we, I get it. It's cut off. Somebody didn't realize it's so hard to be a secretary. Anyhow. Number six is like this. Okay, you know, so you don't, that sheet doesn't have it, so over there. Pasuk is like this. We know the story that Shem, who appropriately his father's name is
Hamor.
What a great name for father and son. I mean, the father's name is Hamor. Anyhow, Shem kidnaps and rapes Dinah, and then, while she's kidnapped, while she's still in his abode, they come to Yaakov and the sons, and they say, you know, Shem says, I really want to marry your daughter, your sister Dinah. Yaakov doesn't say anything. The Torah says that the brothers said, craftily or with wisdom, right? The brother said, okay, you know what, you have to share a little. Okay, good.
Sharing is
okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you have to share. I didn't realize some of these sheets didn't have, honey, I'm sorry. Actually, if anyone, if three of you want the sheets, so I can give my copies. I have more at home. I just grabbed a bunch. I didn't realize that some were from the old batch. Okay, anyhow. So what happens? The brothers say to Shem and Hamor, oh, we'd love to have you join in our family. The only thing is, you have got to get a bris, and everyone will get a bris, and if all of you guys get a bris milah, then it's fine. We can all marry into each other, and everyone will be one big happy family, right? Everyone's aware of the story? You know the story? So, the Torah says, let's read number six. It says, "V'lo echar hanar lasos adavar." The lad did not delay in doing this matter, ki chofetz b'vas Yaakov, because he desired the daughter of Yaakov. He desired this Dinah, right? So when I came to Israel, first time almost 40 years ago.
After you answer?
Yeah, this is after. And after he goes to the Yaakov, and the brothers say, "I want to marry her."
Don't they usually hate their victims after?
No, this is very strange. I mean,
Arabs.
He didn't bring her back.
Arabs.
He didn't even bring her back and say, I want to marry her. She's still kidnapped in his house. And they come and they say, you know, we want to marry your daughter. I want to marry your daughter.
I want
to come on. So the Pasuk says, the lad did not delay Lasso Sedover doing this matter, implementing this, and there's having all the people get a bris. Ki chafetz b'vas Yaakov. Chafetz means to desire, right? In other words, when I came here 40 years ago, you know, I was an American. I walked in the store and say, "Oh, ani chafetz Coca-Cola." Well, you don't say ani chafetz Coca-Cola because chafetz means a strong desire. You know, you want Coca-Cola. You know, like anyhow. But he was chafetz b'vas Yaakov. Under that word Yaakov, there is an asnachta, right? And a snachta is a stop right underneath the kuf and Yaakov. See that little upside down wishbone?
Horseshoe.
The horseshoe, right? That is called an snachta. In Trump, in the Tamei Hekra, that's the second strongest stop. The strongest stop is the end of the pasuk. So there's the pasuk is stopped in the middle, and then it says v'hu nichbad mikol beis aviv, and he was the most honorable person in his father's home. So the question that is dealt with is, what is the connection? The lad didn't delay in implementing this manner because he loved her so much, he desired her so much, and he was the most honorable person in the land. What's the connection, Ellen? What's the simple connection? Yeah,
because daughter of Yaakov, he has to be right. He has to be fitting to marry daughter of Yaakov.
You think, and because he's the most honorable, therefore, what? Therefore,
he's best of the worst.
And therefore, he's most fitting. I don't know if that's because I would assume the simple shot is he was able to implement it, and that's the connection. It's that the plus says the lad didn't delay in implementing the matter because he loved her so much, or he wanted her so much, and he was the most honorable person. Goes back on how simply is he was able to implement because he was such an honorable guy, right? In other words, if he'd be just some geek off the street, and he's going to tell everybody, oh, listen, let's get a bris so I can marry her, this and that, they're going to say, fly kite, who are you? But since he was like a prestigious person, whatever, he was able to implement it. That is, I think, the simple shot. The Svarno has a slightly different, has a different shot. There's the way I just explained it, the Hu Nichbad explains how he was able to carry out the plan. The Svarno says differently. V'hu nechbad, v'afal pichein, and nonetheless, he did not delay in doing it because he desired her. What does afal pichein, what does that imply?
It's detrimental.
And it's detrimental. In other words, even though you would think, and there's something bad, in other words, even though you would think that he wouldn't do it because he was nechman b'kol beis aviv, nevertheless, he did it because he desired her so much. Why is it? Why would, simply speaking, he want to do it? Because I guess pshat is because to have such an honorable guy, such a prestigious guy. First of all, to get a bris like the Jews. That's. Even though you're so honorable, this and that, you're still willing to look like a Jew, to do something like a Jew. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe the problem is that he's such an honorable guy, and yet people make demands on him how to marry their sister. You know, you can only marry my sister if you and your whole nation gets a bris. I'm the top parcher of the town. No one tells me how to do things, right? Because I'm second in command here, right? But you know what? He was willing to go through this embarrassment because he wanted her so much. I always tell my students when I say this, I say, what do we walk out with after hearing this Svarno? And invariably, someone will say, oh, well, I see from here that, according to Svarno, that despite the fact it was really beneath his dignity to do this, he did it because he wanted her so much. To which I would say that that's not why I'm giving this class. Purpose in my class is to understand how this affects me. How does this affect you? When you read this Svarno, what's the message in it for you? Gentlemen, what's the message in it for you, this Svarno? Hello?
If you want something, don't think it's above you to do it?
First of all, if you want something badly, you should realize that it's not beneath your dignity to do it, right? In other words, I said, would you walk around with a sign on your around your thing saying, I'm stupid? Of course not. I said, how about if you get $1 million? Well, make it a very stupid sign, right? For $1 million, you do it, right? In other words, A lot of times we don't do something because the price isn't right. If the price is right, we'll do it, right? Or if we have a, right? So let's say you have an opportunity. Let's say, look, push it. It's time to get up to daven. Daven's in 15 minutes, okay? And my alarm clock goes off, and I say, oh, you know what? I'm not feeling well. I'm not feeling well today. I think I'm going to miss a little davening today. A second later, someone comes to you and says, oh, you know what? There's a guy at the door. He's got a package for you from your parents at home. All of a sudden, boom, kiss, and I'm ready to go to the door. Whoa, I thought you were too sick to get up. Oh, well. I was too sick to get up to go to davening, but to get a package from home, that I wasn't too sick. In other words, what does that mean? That means that I guess in my mind, that davening was not worth as much as that package. So if that happens to us, gentlemen, I think what we should do is, well, a problem, because we usually, very often, before we do or don't do, we don't think, but we should think and say, hey, wait a second. If I can't get up now, is it because I'm really not feeling well? Is it because I'm really tired? If I would have a phone call from America, would I get out of bed? If the answer is yes, so what we have to do is we have to work a little bit on ourselves to inflate the value of the mitzvah. Or at least to think about it. Sometimes the problem is we don't think about it, right? All of us, each and every one of us, we do things, we don't do things. And then a minute later, you say, "Oy vey, I can't believe I did that." Right? How many times do you say something, and then as the words come out of your mouth, you go, oh, "You wish you could pull the words back in," but you know that doesn't work, right? So first of all, you see that if something's valuable enough to me, I'll do it, even though it's beneath. It should be. It might be considered beneath my dignity. And again, Jesus is a very relevant example, right? That I think we talked about last week. A lot of us sitting and learning, and people say, oh, you're wasting your time, you're warming a bench, here. What are you doing? Why aren't you doing this? And why, right? You could be making, right? All these things, right? And sometimes it's hard for us, because, oh no. Here's a conversation. My parents on the phone again. Oh, I'm going to get the conversation again. Oh, why aren't you doing anything constructive? Isn't that, yeah? But the truth is, right, if we'd be going for a doctorate in basket weaving, they say, oh, my son's getting a doctorate. Ah, basket weaving, who cares? Right, right? So sometimes we have to take a little flack. We just realize, if it's something that's valuable to us, right, we see from him. If something is valuable, you would do it, even though theoretically it's beneath your dignity. But if it's really worth it, as I say, it's beneath my dignity to walk around with a sign saying I'm an idiot. But for $1 million, you know, I couldn't, right? It may not be beneath my dignity. It's funny, I had this in a class I was in some seminary. It's the strangest reaction. I said to a girl, would you wear a sign saying I'm an idiot? Oh, no. One girl says, yeah, why not? This is a pretty kef thing to do. And then we got to, how if I give you $1 million? One girl said, I don't know if it's really true, but she said for $10 million she wouldn't wear a sign like that. And all of the other ones said, come on, after about $1,000 they'd be willing to do it. It's just interesting what everyone's selling point is. And then, of course, gentlemen, certain things have no sale value, right? If someone would walk over to you and say, would you be Machal Shabbos? They give you $1 billion, right? It's just not in the, it's not for sale. You know? Not for sale. We have to realize that when it comes to certain things, we have to increase its value to us in order to do it, right? And realize when it comes to things that we can't do, no matter what the price is, we can't do it. Okay. Now, turn the page. There's something over here. This, number 5, on the bottom left-hand side, also doesn't exist on that page. Uh-huh. Yeah, these are two things that I added afterwards because, whatever. Yeah, these are things that I added afterwards. Actually, these two are my own, like, little observations. The other things I have, I quoted from Chiddush Halev, the Rav Hanoch Leibowitz, Rav Yerucham Lubavitz, the Beis Halevi, and Rav Eliyahu Le'Afyon. These two are mine, so that's why I'm sort of biased. Okay, I like to give you mine. All right, now, a very strange thing. The Pasuk says, Vayavo Yaakov Yitzchok Oviv Mamre Kiryas Arbi Hebron, right? Yaakov went to see his father in Hebron. And then the Torah says, Asher Garsham Avram Yitzchok. You know, that's the place that Avram and Yitzchok lived in. So the Mefarshim, a little bothered by a question, like, you know, but they're telling us a little Jewish geography. Yeah, he went to see his father Yitzchok. That's where Avram lived too. Avram used to live there too. Why is he telling us that? So the Sfarno says over here, Ki amnon zikaron chastet tzadikim be'eretz megurehim, because the memory of the righteous acts that the tzaddikim did in their hometowns, meitiv l'bneihem shem tov, it does good for their kids. This good name is Avos Chesed, it's good for their kids. In other words, I always say like this: my father, it's really true, my father is a doctor. Yeah, my father is a doctor in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If I would decide to be a doctor, and I go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I put up my sign.
Pittsburgh is in Pennsylvania?
Pittsburgh is Pennsylvania,
yeah,
yes.
That's another plane crash.
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh. It was outside of Pittsburgh, the plane crash.
The
one that was going to Washington, they said.
Yeah,
right? So if I would put up my shingle and say, Dr. Chaim Flom, and people said, wow, that's Dr. Flom's son. Is that going to be good for me, neutral for me, or bad for me?
Good.
It's good.
Depending on what your father.
Depending upon my father, right? If my father is a well-respected, good doctor, people don't know me from a hole in the wall. But I will automatically get this benefit of the doubt. I don't know about you guys, if any of you had older siblings who are either bad or good, right? But if you have an older sibling who's bad, and you walk into that class, the same class the following year, the teacher's going to look at you and say, oh no, this is Yacoubi's brother, I don't believe this. Right? And that's what he's going to say, right? One of my kids claims that my kid really disliked the teacher, a Rebbe once, because he said the first day of class, so the Rebbe just smacked a kid. Not my son, a different kid. And he said the whole class knew that the teacher smacked the kid because this kid's brother was a troublemaker the year before. So this guy, all he did was like look like this, and all of a sudden the Rebbe, you know, assumed that. And I would say a story that I'm almost ashamed to say, and the only reason I'm not ashamed to say is because I didn't act on it. When I was in high school, we had a kid who was bad. I mean, he was bad. I mean, he was a ganef, and he was really bad. You know, like it was a capital B, right? Capital B bad. Okay, this was in the late '60s when I was in high school. Yeah,
'60s. Bad then is even bad now.
Yeah, he was so bad he used to chew bubblegum in class. You know, anyhow, spitballs, right? Anyhow. It was in the 60s, in the late 60s, okay? When I was the Rosh Yeshiva in Or David, I was Rosh Yeshiva from 81 till 95, it must have been about 1988, okay? I was in America.
When you were the
Rosh Yeshiva? I was the Rosh Yeshiva of Or David. I was the co-founder of Rosh Yeshiva. Now I'm retired from being Rosh Yeshiva, Baruch Hashem.
Or David. It's here in Israel?
Yeah. Now it's in Katamon. That's where I go at nights. That's why I run out of here, because every night I give a shiur there. And I used to be the Rosh Yeshiva. I was the Rosh Yeshiva for 14 years. I co-founded the Yeshiva, but retired. When your brother was there, I was already not the Rosh Yeshiva. I haven't been the Rosh Yeshiva now for...
Oh, yeah?
I haven't been the Rosh Yeshiva for 9 years, 10 years. Anyhow, I give a share every night, and the Musa Shmuz and the fundraising, different things, but Baruch Hashem, I retired from Rosh Hashanah. Anyhow, so what happened? My secretary calls me and says, Rabbi Flum, there's a kid by the name, let's say, Gedalia Gumper. Just to make up a name, right? Kid Gedalia Gumper is applying to yeshiva. And I go, Gedalia Gumper. Because the guy, this evil guy that went to high school with me, his last name was also Gumper. And if you're, oh no, it's his son. And I'm telling you, I almost just told the secretary, tell him that, no. And then I said to myself, but Barshaw, I stopped. And I said to myself, isn't that terrible? But I'm going to apostle this kid because his father was evil, right? First of all, it turned out it wasn't his son. It was his nephew, but it was his nephew. But I'm just saying, what kind of... It was a terrible thing on my part, but I think it's a normal
reaction.
There was a cook in Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, Gevared Katz, who was a Holocaust survivor, and she was a certain city in Hungary, here in Israel, 30 years after the war. Apparently in her city in Hungary, there was a Jew who was a Moser. You know what a Moser is? He like informed on other Jews, you know, to find favor in the Nazis, whatever. And she met a guy, I think she's at the time, right? She met a guy once, 30 years later, she met a guy, and they're from the same city, and they started talking, and he mentioned his last name, and all of a sudden she said she moved back. She said, no, she's not related to him. Like, this guy was a famous, this Moshe was a famous guy, but, you know, like, as soon as she heard that last name, like, she, and he saw that she was, no, got nervous, she said, no, I'm not related to him. Like, it was understood, you know, like, even the name sent chills up her spine, right? So, gentlemen, this is true for good, like my father being a doctor, and it's true for bad, right? The reputation that Avram had was good for his grandson, right? And conversely, if Avram would have been evil, it would have been, it would have put his grandson behind the eight ball, right? It would have been negative for him. Gentlemen, this is Rabbi Flom's Musser Shmooze. If this is true, what the grandfather does for his grandson, and the father can do for his son, there's an expression in English, or at least in American, there's an expression in English called, you sleep in the bed you make. You know what that expression means? You ever hear the expression? I don't know, maybe we say that 50 years ago. In other words, what it means is, when if I make a bed, right, and I sleep in it, so I sleep in the bed I make, right? If I make a bad reputation, if I do something bad, if I'm a ganef, right, and I walk out and see people say, oh, he's a ganef, everyone says, oh, he's a ganef, right? And I say to myself, I'm so upset, why are they calling me ganef? I said, listen, buddy, you stole. So you caused that reputation for yourself, right? That's what it means. In other words, if you do an action that causes a certain reaction, so you can't complain about that reaction because it's based on something you did. Right? That's the expression, you sleep in the bed that you make. Gentlemen, I always tell guys, 5 years down the line, right, you're going to get the Orchis and Chaim newsletter. Right? And what are you going to say? You're going to read it and you're going to say, wow! You tell your wife, wow! Yitzchak Cohen, I just had a baby. Yitzchak Cohen was the biggest tzaddik in the whole yeshiva. Oh, look at this! Mark Schwartz, whoa! They had a baby also. You know, this guy was real tzaddik. This guy davened sincerely. And this guy, right? And then you're going to say, Valmo Smith! He was the biggest jerk there, and he was like, and your wife said, whoa, you haven't seen the guy in 10 years? And look at what it evoked, look at the feelings that it evokes in you. My wife always says an amazing thing. There's two names my wife says, when I hear about them, my face lights up. Anybody here living from Far Rockaway? No. There's a guy, it's Rabbi Shlomoish Brown. when I learned in Neri Yisrael, I left Neri Yisrael in the 60s, he was a phenomenal masman. He's a great, great Talmud Chacham. My wife says, it's unbelievable, I hadn't seen the guy in 30 years. Yet every time I heard his name, she says, my face lit up. There's a guy who lives in Kew Gardens, his name is Chaim Isaac Flink. The guy's a phenomenal Baal Chesed. Him I'd seen in the last 20, it's only been 20 years since I have seen him. And my wife says him also, whenever I hear his name, like my face lights up. And I just think, I have these feelings, how big a Baal Chesed this guy is. Gentlemen, I say this, I always tell my students, you know, really have to be good because this is what Hashem wants from us, this is the tachlis to be good. But if that doesn't work for you, just remember, if we treat other people improperly, we are making the beds that we will ultimately sleep in. Right? In other words, if I'm a jerk to everybody, right? And if I'm a kamsin, if I'm a tightwad, and I don't do people favors, this and that. And when people say, wow, I learned it all the time. This guy was such a... And you're sitting there saying, hey, why aren't they saying, and Chaim Flom was such a great tzaddik? You know why? Because you didn't act like one. You know, treat people properly, right? So I said, this is the un-musser-musser shmusser Rabbi Flom, right? I said, we have to be good because this is our purpose, our tachlis is to be good. Beinam l'makam, beinam l'chavero. Because, you know, as I say, on a very... very un-lishma level, not lishma level. Every time we do something, besides, I mean, obviously it's the most important, the mitzvah factor, the vekas b'shem factor is very important. But I'm saying, aside from that, but every time we do good things, it builds us, it makes the bed, right? Every time we do something bad, it makes the bed. So, gentlemen, as I say, this is very un-musser-dicker, very not-lish-mush-mush-mush-mush-mush. I guess it's 7 o'clock. Uh-oh. I didn't know that happens. But someone's wedding is at 7 o'clock tonight, so that's what that was. I didn't realize. Anyhow, okay, gentlemen, so that's... we should be good because we're supposed to be good. And the other shmuz also, if we don't do a mitzvah, We should always look to see if maybe our problem is that we didn't appreciate the mitzvah enough, and we should try working on giving it a greater value. Thank you. If anybody needs a ride towards